sitting comfortably, then I'll begin.
That's the way computers talk to each other.
Unbelievable! Amazing! Fantastic!
Welcome to Blue Mountains Live on the 17th of August 2023. Just recently, we very sadly lost two greats from the world of rock and roll here in Australia. That was Ron Pino and Lewis Tillett. And Lewis, who I met quite a few times, he worked with our band, Love and Squalor, and he did some little tiny bit of producing, but we also supported his band, The Wet Taxis, a couple of times. So tonight we've got a very special episode where we remember and pay tribute to the memory of Lewis Tillett and Ron Pino. And because of the nature of tonight's arts program, which is leaning into the feminine a little bit, I've asked along guitarist Penny Eichinger to come along and help us along with her memories of her relationship with both of those musicians. She played in bands with both of them and recorded and had them appear on her albums, etc. So very generously, Penny, who's not feeling the best at the moment, she was overseas and came back with the dreaded COVID. So we're very grateful that she's taken the time to chat to us. So we're going to play the track Come On from the Atlantics, which later was covered by The Wet Taxi, the band that Penny and Lewis were in. We're going to play that track, and then we're going to play the interview, which we did earlier with Penny and with singer Libby Diedrich, in fact, who was the singer for my band, Love and Squalor. So stay tuned and for this very special episode of Blue Mountains Live here on Radio Blue Mountains 89.1 FM.
I've got to buy you everything as soon as
Hello and welcome back to Blue Mountains Live here on Radio Blue Mountains 89.1 FM. We're doing a special show tonight to remember two legendary musicians, Ron Pino and Lewis Tillett, who passed only a few days ago for us. So we're going to, I thought since we did the interview with Rebecca Wilson and Jenny Barry just a little while ago for my Talking Arts program, I thought we'd keep the feminine lean ear to the program, and we'd ask Penny Eichinger on to talk about her relationship with Lewis and Ron. She played in bands with them and had them appear on her albums as well. Welcome to the show, Penny.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Now, I've also asked Libby to join us. Libby sang in the band that I played in, and we did a couple of gigs with Lewis Tillett and Penny when they were in the Wet Taxis back in the late 80s. And so welcome aboard, Libby.
Howdy, everyone.
And I thought she'd be good to chat to Penny, the same way that I had Rebecca and Jenny have a chat. So, but of course, I'm not asking them to give a woman's position on what's going on. We were all very sad to hear of the passing of both Lewis and Ron, very close together. So.
It is really hard when they're your contemporaries. It does hit you quite hard.
And we thank Penny very, very much for her generosity in joining us, because she's also not feeling well. You've got the dreaded pandemic happening down there in Melbourne.
I wasn't expecting to get it to get COVID. I'd just been overseas and I got it a couple of days after I came back, so perhaps that right. was do, do something to you, do with that trip.
Do you think you got it while you were over there?
Possibly, I would say in the aeroplane or at the airport. I was really careful and wore my mask and etc. But these things happen. But happened at completely the wrong time. Not that there's a right time, but for me it was just it was devastating, because I had a couple of gigs booked with my band Penny Eichinger's Marbles. We were supporting Be Suburban in Sydney and Melbourne, and then of course that weekend that I was meant to be doing the gigs, which I had to pull out of because I was sick, I found out that Lewis had passed away and also Ron passed away. So yeah, it was one of those terrible weekends.
Right, right. Mm. Well, as I said, thank you so much for talking to us. We'll probably talk first about how, like the usual, how you first met both of them, and some of the stories from when you were playing together. So we might start with who you met first. Who would you have met first? That would have been Lewis, yes.
Yeah, Lewis I met a long time ago in 1979, actually. I was studying at Sydney Uni. I grew up in Melbourne, but I moved to Sydney because I had a really great archaeology course at Sydney University.
Right.
And Lewis was studying at Sydney Uni as well, and similar types of subjects to me. Lewis had actually come, I believe, second top in the state of New South Wales in ancient history in his final year.
Oh, wow.
So he was a very smart person, and we had these similar interests of ancient things and also music.
Right, right. So is that sort of a background to why, when doing clips and things like that, you guys were wearing druid robes and stuff like that?
Well, that was mainly Lewis. I wasn't wearing jeweled robes, but Lewis always had a fascination with ancient things and mystical things.
And, of course, the eye makeup, Penny.
Yeah, well, was that such a big... Was that a sin?
Oh, no, no, but I...
No, just look very Egyptian.
Yes,
know, so.
Yes.
Oh, right, okay. I don't know, it's just...
Well, it worked. It fitted in with the whole theme, so it worked. So.
Okay.
I mean,
well, that's good to know. It wasn't a fashion faux pas.
But back in those days, you couldn't go anywhere without a cold pencil, so you needed one of those.
And what about the idea of forming the band? Was that just an organic thing, or?
Well, Lewis, the Wet Taxis, that's when I moved to Sydney that year. I met Lewis. He had a big influence on my music because he used to teach me a lot about music during that period, because he knew a lot more about music than I did. I was someone who loved punk rock, but Lewis had been studying classical piano since he was like 4 years old, and he'd also could play saxophone. He played, I think he'd studied a bit of violin. He was actually teaching me how to play guitar. I had a bass guitar then, and he would work songs out for me off records and tapes and teach them to me.
Can I just share a little story that you told me back in the 80s, and that was your learning to play guitar story. How that you fell asleep playing guitar and woke up and your fingers were bleeding. I remember that.
Yes.
You don't remember it. You may have blocked it out. Yeah.
I used to
practice. I was obsessed.
Right, right.
And it was thanks to Lewis. So. That's a fascinating story, Libby. anyway.
Hopefully you aren't hearing it for the first time. I'll just let the listeners know. We met Penny when we went down to Sutherland to do a gig. And, of course, we went down in the Wet Taxis van. And so some of these stories would have been related in traffic in the back of the van.
Look. Michael, our guitarist, you may remember as Chuck Woods. He's my brother and he lives downstairs. He's got his own granny flat. But anyway, we recall that story of that incredible trip down to Sutherland in the taxi's van. And thank God for John Bassett, the sound engineer, because he was the only sober person that we knew.
Was he driving?
Of course he was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe so sober and sane
so
at the time.
I think in that van there was Lewis, Bronston Teen, Charlie Owen, you, me and Michael. I thought you drove down, Brett.
I might have. I don't remember the craziness of the van.
Oh, you don't remember how crazy it was,
I think I was driving down in the little blue Toyota van that we used to chuck about in.
Yeah.
Which was, even though it was a bit crazy in the taxi's van, I think it was probably better than the back of my van, which is where Chuck usually
used to get thrown around.
Thrown around with the equipment.
But no, we got there and we got back all in one piece, so
getting back to your question about the Wet Taxis, I stayed in Sydney for that year. Then I went back to Melbourne. Then I came back to Sydney a few years after. But in that interim, Lewis started Wet Taxis. So I wasn't in the initial stages of Wet Taxis. Then it was very much an experimental band with Simon Nucky and Tim Nucky playing some pretty out there stuff, kind of proto-electronic, pre-sampling, but very unusual. Like they would do sample sounds and things before it became a real thing.
Right.
That everyone's doing. Very experimental, but
I remember seeing one or two of those gigs, and I remember that some of the, and I know that some of the recordings, like the Prince of Wales recording and things like that, have got a few sort of weird things on them. So
yeah. But then at some stage, the whole sound morphed into something that was, it moved out of that industrial sound into more kind of 60s influenced sound. They listened a lot to the Nuggets albums, which was 60s garage rock music.
Right, yeah.
That had a big influence on the what became the Wet Taxis that we know now, that became more sort of accessible to people, I suppose. And that was the band and the sound that when they would play at the Britannia Hotel in Chippendale. And,
right.
So that sound started off irrespective of me, and been playing, I think, a few years, and the rhythm guitarist Peter Watt left, and that's when I joined the band. So that would have been about 1983.
Right.
So if you were going to pick a Wet Taxi song that really summed up the Taxis at their best, which track would you choose?
Well, in that particular era of the Britannia Hotel, because Wet Taxis went through a few, there was one lineup and then another lineup that came later. For that era at the Britannia Hotel, there was some pretty out there stuff they were doing, but probably one of the most, the song that they would be remembered for would be that first single that was released, which Sailor's was a cover.
Brew. No,
I'm thinking of the cover of the Atlantic song, Come On.
Yeah.
And then the second single that was released, which came later with a different lineup, with Jason Kane playing guitar, Rodney Howard playing drums, Rodney Howard playing bass, Nick Fisher playing drums, who Nick also had played on at the Britannia Hotel. Yeah, Sailor's Dream, and that song was the first actual song that Lewis had written, and he wrote the music and the lyrics.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, Wet Taxis had been more sort of covers.
I just have to say, I've had Sailor's Dream stuck in my head for 2 days and I can't get rid of it. It's still there.
Well, we might help some people along with that. We did actually play the Atlantic's version of Come On at the beginning of the show. So what we might do now is we might play Come On, the Wet Taxis version, and then we'll play Sailor's Dream straight after. And then we'll come back and we'll keep talking to Penny Eichinger about Lewis, and also about the first time she met Ron Pino. Okay, so here's the Wet Taxis with Come On.
Come On, which was an Atlantic's.
That's
album.
Right, originally done by the Atlantic's. Yeah,
Peter. Who found it? Whose idea to do it?
It's a long, long story, but we all decided on it together, basically.
Okay.
We heard the original.
Baby, my dreams could never come true. Sydney's coolest little urban winter music festival returns to the Surry Hills precinct in the heart of Sydney this August 18th to 20th. Sydney Folk Festival brings together a wide range of music, celebrating traditions old and new, from our own backyard to those from across the world. There's no better way to find your folk, whether you like a little bit traddy, a little bit revival, or spiced up with modern grooves and catchy hooks, you'll soon discover the rich diversity of folk. Get your folk on this August when Sydney Folk Festival comes to town. Tickets are now on sale and artist announcements are rolling off the press. Experience the music, the culture, the community. Sydney Folk Festival 2023. To find out more, visit sydneyfolkfestival.com.au.
Hi, this is Dave Faulkner from the Hoodoo Guru. You may ask, what's my thing? I'll tell you. My thing is Radio Blue Mountain, supporting local music.
Washing over me every night. I sail on my own across the ocean 2 miles to get home. Why I sail on this ocean freight, find the seas only 2 and 9. Where would I be? Hey, 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 up in the sea. I'm going down to sea on an empty sea. Growing darker, the moon's almost gone. Though I'm asleep, I see all that's going on. I travel and travel, and then look back. The ocean behind me is waiting to black. Straight, straight ahead, it's never
to be.
And that was the Wet Taxis there with Sailor's Dream. Now, that came out, was that that also came out the same time as Ambulance, is that one? So
Ambulance Ride.
Ambulance Ride, yes. Was that a single, a two side? Was that the two sides?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, because I love Ambulance Ride as well. That's a brilliant song.
Yeah, that's a very unusual song as well, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but it's great. Yeah, it's great.
Mm.
Okay, so we're talking to Penny Ikinja from Penny Ikinja in the Marbles. Is it the Marbles or is it just Penny Ikinja's Marbles?
Well,
is that referring to the state of your marbles, Penny? Sorry.
Mine, I'm a solo artist, so to speak, Penny Ikinja, and then I play with other combinations. So there's Penny Ikinja's Marbles, which is my Melbourne band at the moment.
Right.
But I've also been playing with other collectives of musicians around the world. I have a band in France called Penelope Inc.
Oh, okay.
As an incorporated.
Right.
We play as a three-piece. I've got a band I've been playing with who are based in Tokyo called the Silver Bells. So that's Penny Ikinja and the Silver Bells. So,
wow.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what I'm doing.
Okay, well, I do want to play some of your music a bit later on, towards the end of the interview. As I mentioned, and we'll talk about what you've been doing more recently, but maybe we move on to Ron Pino. I want to get some memories of Ron from you. So when did you first meet Ron?
I can't exactly remember the precise moment. When Wet Taxis were playing around that era, we would do a lot of gigs with Died Pretty. They would be our support band because we loved Died Pretty, and they were so amazing. And Lewis loved Ron. So I can't remember exactly when I met Ron, but it was around that period. So I would be thinking, you know, in those early 80s. So we used to do lots of gigs with them. And also we did they were with Citadel Records. We were with Hot Records, but we did a big tour then called the Rorty Dog Tour, with Celibate Rifles headlining and Wet Taxis and also Died Pretty and Mushroom Planet. And so we played in Melbourne and Sydney, Adelaide, Brisbane. We were also just talking about the single Sailor's Dream. We did a video for that song, and Ron Pino did like a cameo appearance in the video.
All right.
So I can't remember what year that was we released that song. 85, 86, somewhere like that. Yeah.
And I mean that must have been heady days when all that was happening. I mean, you would have met a lot of people in Sydney and Melbourne who later went on to become, you know, legends of that sort of period, you know, and those sort of bands, people like Kim Salmon and I think one of Ron's first bands, all the people who were in the Screaming Tribesmen and things like that. So there would have been a lot of identities who you would have got to play with and interact with.
Yeah, well, Sydney at that time was a real melting pot, and people came from all over Australia to live in Sydney. I'd grown up in Melbourne, and Lewis and Nick, who played in the drums in Wet Taxis, and the original guitarist, Simon, Tim, you know, we were all living in Sydney, but people had come from other areas. So with Rod, he'd come from Brisbane. With Kim Salmon, he'd come from Perth. Spencer Jones had originally come from New Zealand. Someone like Tex Perkins came from Brisbane. So with, we talked about Mushroom Planet before, the singer from Mushroom Planet, he was from Adelaide. So people really gravitated towards Sydney then. And there was a great rock scene happening. There was a great scene in Melbourne too, maybe a bit more arty.
Yeah.
But in Sydney it was very much a rock thing.
Yeah, I think we sort of came into that sort of scene towards the end of it, and a lot of that, well, the stuff that you went through.
Oh, well, I remember the happened. Trade Union Club, particularly those gigs we played there, supporting Died Pretty and The Rifles. They were really memorable times. Yeah.
Yes, they were, Libby, and we were so lucky to be part of that that scene, because there was just so much activity, and you could tour around Australia too. Now it's much harder to tour.
Of course.
And also for musicians in Sydney, I think it's much harder. It's not as fertile a breeding ground, and you need a community of musicians to create the scene, the sound, and out of that community a couple will rise to the top. They'll get the accolades, they'll go on to bigger and better things, but they've come from a scene.
And how have you found that the live streaming and internet, how has the internet changed how you...
Spotify and such.
Yeah. How has it affected you, the change in how music is made and music is accessed?
Well, in a way, there's a lot of potential. Certainly, like I was saying, I've been playing in other countries with different musicians. In the world, I could line up that sort of business because of emails, and in the 80s you could tour like that, but you'd be waiting up all hours to be able to make a phone call.
Just talks to someone, yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, send them a letter or whatever, but these days communication's so much easier.
And so there's a lot. It's instant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's instant, but also say I can send a song to a musician in another country and say, can you play on this or something? Whereas in the 80s, if you wanted someone to play on your song that was in another country, those tapes would have to get couriered from A to B, which was a very expensive, time-consuming process. So as a musician, there's lots of potential there, but also there's lots of drawbacks as well, which is with the decline of the physical product, it's much harder
to sell actually, records,
to make money from what you're doing. And you have to make money so you can keep it going.
I'll just let people know we're talking to Penny Ikinja from... about Lewis Tillett and Ron Pino, and also her career, and we just want to recognise that she's the generosity in talking to us, because she's at home in Melbourne at the moment with COVID, locked down, isolated. Obviously with the news, Penny's been dealing with that. So I imagine you haven't got any gigs coming up that you're probably planning very, very soon. Do you get to have a break for a bit now?
Yeah, I want to come back to Sydney. I don't know exactly when. I was thinking maybe November, but I'm not sure what's going on there at the moment. And I've got just a couple of gigs in Melbourne, September, October, but nothing coming up right now, which is good.
Right. We'll definitely, let us know when you come up to Sydney, because we'll promote the gigs and make sure we. There will be people up here who'll make the trip down to the Big Smoke to see you play. Now I'm just gonna go back to Ron. Penny has provided me with a track that's on one of her albums. Is that Penelope? Is that how we pronounce the album?
Yeah, that's the album title.
Yep, and so Memories Remain is the track. Just quickly tell us the story of getting Ron to sing on that.
Well, we wrote that song together at my place in the living room where I'm sitting right now. That's kind of when I really recognised the genius of Ron Pino, because he was just, his ideas for that song were incredible, and he kind of helped nut it all into shape and give it an arrangement and a gloss or something. Is that the word? I don't know. He just had this incredible musical instinct.
Right.
Ron always had a kind of a lot of confidence in his ideas. You can work with other people who things maybe don't gel so easily, because it's a bit, I don't know how to describe it, but Ron, it just flowed. That's what I'm trying to say. Sure.
So he didn't second guess himself. He knew what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he could feel it, and he could feel it really strongly. So he had a really strong musical instinct and talent.
That's brilliant. That's a brilliant memory of Ron. So we might listen to that song. This is Memories Remain, and this is off Penny's Penelope album. And we'll be right back, and we're talking to Penny Eichinger from Melbourne. This is Memories Remain.
Whisper softly if you can. Feels like a river drowning man. Hearts all afire, souls all aflame. Caught like a fly in some spider's game. We're drawn to love again, like moths to a flame. It's bitter and sweet, my love. Still memories remain, those memories remain. We'll be right back.
I think I'll have to sing. Yeah. Rum tom 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 elephantitis. Benny probably doesn't even remember that.
She wouldn't know where that was from. It was the song.
Is that from Bronstantine?
Yes.
Yeah. God, you got a good memory.
Oh, but the thing, of course, did you ever find out who stole your bottom?
My bottom?
When we were in the van, you said, "Where's my bottom? Somebody stole my bottom." And I thought you might still be
looking
for it. You've got a memory like my sister, Libby. She remembers everything, even stuff from, you know, when we were 5 years old.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
I mean, see, the thing was, like, we thought we knew what rock and roll was about, but with the taxis, we just realised we had no idea, you know.
Yeah.
As you can tell, you know, we still sit around and talk about that one trip, you know, more than anything else that we did at the time, you know. All right.
Well, I hope this is being included in the interview.
I can do. So we're as you heard, we're chatty. We were chatting while playing that track, but you've just heard that story. I don't know if I'll put all of it in, but we're talking to Penny Eichinger, and we're remembering Ron Pino and Lewis Tillett. Now, I might try and bring it back around to both of them and just find out when was the last time you actually worked with the boys. When was the last time you worked with Lewis?
Oh, it would be a few years ago now, because I've been in Melbourne when did I move to Melbourne? Again, 1991.
Now, am I right in that you did work overseas for a while? I had this impression that you went to America and worked a little bit in Detroit for a while. Is that right? Somewhere?
No, I wish I had. So I've been concentrating on my own solo career.
Right.
So I did have a label in America. My first album, Electra, came out on that label.
Right.
Which was about 20 years ago now. So, that has been the focus of my attention, has been my solo career.
Sorry, I broke your train of thought. Last time you worked with Lewis?
Let me see. I played on the album, I played guitar on the album Cry Against the Faith.
Right.
And then I did some gigs with Lewis and Charlie. I would have to really think about the exact year.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ron?
Ron, I have not. I didn't work with Ron as much as I worked with Lewis.
Of course.
That song that we played before, Memories Remain, that would be probably the last time we worked together. I did want to write more songs with him after that, but I got distracted by other things, unfortunately. I did play in a band for a little while with Ron in Sydney a long time ago. Oh, late 1980s. And
there is some footage on YouTube of Ron singing with you. You fronting a band and Ron was singing with you. I'm not sure where that gig was.
Anyway,
we can hunt it down.
We can hunt it down. We'll find out.
Excuse me. I think the song we had sorry, not the song. The band we had was the Blue Oysterbergs or something. I think maybe we did one gig or maybe we did no gigs. I can't remember.
Right.
It was so long ago. If Libby had been around, she'd be able to tell us what was happening. But Charlie Owen played in that band, and Warwick Fraser from we were just talking about them before. Screaming Tribesmen.
Yeah. Right.
And a guy, Jerry Cordegast, played bass. So, yeah, but that was okay. A few years ago now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try not to stretch your memory anymore, Penny.
Penny, I have to go now, so yeah, this is lovely to chat. Yeah.
This has
my,
been,
yeah.
My groceries have arrived. So
yeah. This has been. We will let Penny go. She's mm-hmm. been very generous with her time. She's not feeling the best. She's got the bug. We'd like to thank Penny Ikinja for joining us today and sharing some memories of Ron and Lewis, of Rod Pino and Lewis Tillett, who we sadly lost this week. And we're very grateful for her giving us some leads into some other parts of their music that we didn't know about. I've got a couple of songs to play. I'm going to play one that Penny suggested, which is a Died Pretty album where Lewis plays some piano. And that's, Life to Go, sorry. And that's a pretty full-on track, that one from that album, from the Die Pretty album.
It's stunning.
Yeah, it's and it's a cacophony of noise and but you can definitely hear Lewis's piano playing coming through it in the middle of the song. So
there's the passion in the playing and the attack in the playing, yeah, and
that's it.
It's and just.
You just instantly know it's Lewis because of the way he's playing, you know, and that was why, you know, we used to drag ourselves along to see Paris Green as often as we could because it was just always a treat to go and see him play.
And are you still playing music now?
We're not.
We both
consider ourselves too old, which is ridiculous because we've got people who are 20 years older than us playing up here in the mountains, you know, and doing it full on. So we should be is the answer. But
I have caring responsibilities. So.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of other stuff going on, but I've been trying to stay in touch with everybody and doing the radio show and things like that and helping organise things up here.
Well, the music's a lot of work, isn't it, too?
People just think you
get up there and you do it. Well, you don't. It's actually a huge amount of work.
So now, thanks, Penny. And what I'll do is I'll ask you just for one last song you'd like to hear from anyone. I'm going to play a few more in this show. I've got a track of Ron Pino doing Eternally Yours with a bunch of different people.
Well, you know what song I was thinking of was Final Twist.
Actually, now you've reminded me of something, Brad.
Yes.
The last times I would have played with Ron would have been in a band called Epic Brass in Melbourne.
Right.
Now, Epic Brass was a brainchild of Jack Howard, who's a trumpet player who played with Hunters and Collectors.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's where your recording from Eternally Yours was.
I think it was, definitely Jack Howard played on that track. So the one I thought.
That'd be a live recording.
Correct.
And that would have been the last time I played with Ron. And
you played on that track. Oh, well, look, there you are. I did pick that track out to play on the show, so that's definitely the track we should play now because Penny's playing on it. Brilliant. That would have been a big gig, that one.
Oh, yeah. And that was relatively recent compared to the old days.
Everything else we've been talking about and trying to remember.
Yeah, everything else. trying to remember, which is why I'm getting confused sometimes. But Well, we asked, we have spanned about 40 years.
Well, that's right. That's why we had Libby here. Just her brain is still functioning. Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on, Penny.
Thank you.
And so we'll go out and we'll listen to Eternally Yours with Penny and Epic Brass and Jack Howard and a bunch of other people. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Penny.
Thank you.
This is Ed Cooper. You're listening to Radio Blue Mountains.
Hi, I'm Pat Powell, and the sound of Young America is coming to the Blue Mountains Theater. The show is called Dancing in the Shadows of Motown. There's horns, there's singers, there's excitement, there's variety. All of the stars from yesteryear will be performed that night. Come along, Saturday, 23rd of September.
You're listening to Blue Mountains Live with Brad Diedrich.
So thanks so much for listening to us on Blue Mountains Live this week. And once again, thank you to Penny Ikinja for talking to us about Ron Pino and Lewis Tillett. And there were lots of things that didn't get into the interview, lots of things she thought about afterwards. So I've asked her to come back when she's feeling a bit better, not suffering from the dreaded COVID. And we can talk about more things that that happened back in the 80s. She thought a bit later on about the Bowie in Berlin tour that she did with Ron Pino and people like Kim Salmon and Dave Graney and Max Sharam. We'll definitely have Penny back on the show. Very generous with her time, and thanks a lot, Penny. Okay, that's the end of the program. On with the station, and next up we've got Steve Perry with View from the Stand, and he's obviously going to talk us down after the loss on Wednesday night. Such a shame, but of course it's heightened the looking at sport and particularly women in sport, and so hopefully we won't lose momentum and we'll keep supporting teams like the Matildas and women's soccer and women's any sport. So stay tuned for Steve Perry and View from the Stand on Radio Blue Mountains 89.1 FM.
We were a little late, so say goodbye.